from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. This is the word of the Lord for us. So we are honored to have with us as guest speaker, Pastor Chip Woodall. He is lead pastor for Christ Walk International Ministries, which has locations in Cornelia, Georgia, and Millersburg, Ohio. Chip is the founder of Christ Walk and has been in full-time ministry for 20 years. He's served in children's ministry, student ministry, college and career age, recreation and sports, and family ministry. His lovely wife, Donna, is with us today as well. They've been married for 32 years and have 5 children and 1 grandson. So would you please join me in giving a very warm welcome to Pastor Chip Woodall. Bless you.
Do these things work the same way in Ohio as they do in Georgia? Yeah. How are you? Are you good? This is the day that God has created, and we should be glad about this day. Amen. I'm glad to see when I walked in and met Pastor John and the others on the team and started to watch you all come in. You all. It slips out every once in a while. It's awesome to see the diverse age groups that are a part of your family here. And I'm excited to hear that there's a seminar for growth. That means this church is alive and active. Amen? Amen? Are y'all ameners? Okay. And so Don and I are so thrilled to be here. We can be here with you through service this morning. And then for Sunday school following, I'm going to share the story of what God has done with our family. It's a pretty interesting story. We're so thankful. And I want to thank Pastor, all the other folks I've met, John Mast, and those that invited us to come and be a part of your family today. And let's honor the Lord. So can we go to him in prayer? Father, we love you. We thank you that we're gathered. Your people are gathered together to worship you today, God. And I pray that through this time, we will hear your word clearly. It will speak to our hearts and transform our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So the theme for the Mennonite Christian Assembly for this month is, I'll do it tomorrow. I mean, why should we do it today if we can put it off until tomorrow, right? Hey, Ryan. I mean, it's awesome how God allows us a span of time to do what we need to do, yet we infiltrate our life, and the enemy comes at us in such ways that it throws us off course. And so why do we have this tendency to put things off? I'm sure you all can throw your hand up, right? It doesn't matter if you're millennials or middle-aged or senior adults. Things creep into our life, right? And it allows us the opportunity to say yes or no. Who has a hard time saying no in here? Hold your hand up. There you go. No can be a powerful thing, and it's okay to say no. So this tendency to put things off, are you with me? Sometimes comes from cramming too much into one day, right? How many of you are crammers? You like to just stuff as much into 24 hours as is possible, with your children, with your spouse, with your job, and we find out that we can't possibly complete it. How about this procrastination? Are you married to a procrastinator? Do you know a procrastinator? Are you one? Do you put things off? When you have all these assignments at school and you know they're coming at you, but you just kind of say, well, I'm just going to wait till the last minute, then I'll cram it in. Does that sound familiar? Okay. How about this? You feel you don't know enough,
You feel like you don't have enough experience. So you just keep putting off what God's telling you that he needs you to do for his kingdom. And if God tells you he needs you to do something for his kingdom, he's going to equip you. And he gives us this thing called grace that makes it okay. When we think we can't, we can with his grace. So I want you to just follow me. And I want to share an interesting biblical concept with you this morning that's going to help you get things done more effectively. Say on time. Say on time. On time. So if this ministry here and whatever you do with Pastor John and all the other lead pastors and everybody that's a part, this family, if this ministry and your life is going to be pleasing to the Lord, are you listening? Listen close. If it's going to be pleasing to the Lord, it must be properly adjusted in all things. What does that mean? How can you properly adjust, John, to all things? There is a way. He never gives us more than we can handle. Do we put things into our life when we... Open your hand up. Are there things in your hands this morning that should not be there? Have you put things in your hands that God did not ask you to put in your hands? You did it because you felt obligated, or you felt you needed to, or no one else would do it, or maybe your family forced you to, or... Is it really supposed to be in your hands? Because that could very well be what's keeping you from doing today what you need to do, and you just keep putting it off until tomorrow. And so if the ministry here at the Mennonite Christian Assembly is going to be pleasing to God, it must be properly adjusted in all things. If we know how to adjust, I'm talking on a daily basis, adjust to the different seasons of life, we will not get out of sorts. What season are you in? I mean, I know it's still winter. Well, there's actually still a little snow laying around. We don't have that much in Georgia. I mean, until this trip, it has snowed on us. And you know this since Christmas, pretty much, here, right? Snow, snow, snow. But you didn't have a season like that until this year for several years. Is that right? So what season are you in, and how are you adjusting, and can you sort things out? When we know how to adjust, we fulfill our responsibilities. Do you have some responsibilities? And you won't put things off. So how do we adjust and remain adjusted? That's the question. Every day of our life, how do you and I adjust and remain adjusted? When I got the call to do this, of course I wanted to do it. But you know what I had to do? Start adjusting. You know why? I've got to preach at 11 o'clock in Millersburg. You know what else? We've got to fly back to Georgia. We have a pastor and his wife coming to stay at our retreat center. We have a healing house where pastors can come and rest with their wives, Pastor John, for free. We have a lake, a pond, mountains. It's a beautiful place. But guess what? I have to make adjustments as they come in, because one of my responsibilities is to sit with pastors and let them just vent. You understand, your pastors need to have a place where they can vent also, right? So there's these adjustments that we have to go through on a daily basis. But how do we remain adjusted and take on the responsibilities of following God no matter what the season is, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what your situation is, the environment that you're in? People want to blame it on all sorts of things, right? To be useful in God's hands every day, I must be properly adjusted in three areas. Get your notes out. Open up your Bibles if you have them. Listen real close. Here's the number one position to be adjusted. If you can't adjust in this position, you will not be able to go on to the next two properly. Okay, so listen real close. Here's the first position. You have to know how to stay in your seat. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes you just rise up out of your seat, don't you? You just get a little bit too anxious, or you get a little bit too aggravated, or you've got to say the last word. How many, you know, I've got to speak up. I didn't like that. and we can't stay in our seat. And so the Holy Spirit is trying to groom us into the seat. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read verses 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. How? By grace, you and I have been saved if we've committed our life to the Lord. Now listen to verse 6. Ephesians 2, verse 6. And he raised us up together. And he made us sit together. Where are we? We're sitting together. And what does it say? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you are a born-again believer, listen close. You're in Christ. That's good news. You know what that allows you and I to be? Balanced and whole. Even on this earth, when things are coming at us like crazy. Schoolwork, boyfriends, girlfriends, the job, not enough money, all these things. You know what? Stay in your seat. Because there's a way for you to make it through this season. There's a way for you to fulfill your responsibilities and honor God. He made a plan. So when he allowed us this thing called salvation, which is the greatest gift ever, amen? Say amen? Do you know Jesus? If you know Jesus, you're in Christ. And so that allows you, spiritually speaking, we're walking around on planet Earth, but spiritually speaking, we're seated in him. But what happens when we get out of the seat from him? We can't fulfill our responsibilities within the day. We can't do it. We can't manage it on our own. That's why the Holy Spirit is a helper. He's come to help you and me. And so this first position in Christ, say my position in Christ is seated. That's it. Once you understand how to stay seated, like at our church, Pastor John, we have a rule. And I don't like rules, but this is a good one. No offenses. None. You can't get offended at someone else at Christ Walk Church. You have to stay in your seat in Christ and not get offended. All right, here's the second point. My position in the world is walking. Not like a fool, wisely. But the only way I can do that is to be seated. Now that sounds interesting. I'm seated, but I'm walking in Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's skip over a page. And I want to read just three verses, verses 1 through 3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk. What? Walk. How? Worthy of the calling which you were called. Now listen, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This church has that. You have a lot of unity here. I feel it. I sense it in the Spirit. I could tell when we hit the property. Somebody prays here. There's this oneness. There's this unity in this body. And you guys feel it. It doesn't matter if you're young, if you're middle-aged, or if you're a senior adult, and you've been here since the start of the church, which I think is over 30 years, maybe. I'm not sure. This church was built to reach this community, right? And look at the blended family that God has brought together. Praise the Lord. Now here's the question. Are you in your seated position in Christ? And do you know how to position yourself in the world by walking wisely, being humble, showing the redeeming love of Jesus Christ? All of these things that he mentions to keep unity in the Spirit and the bond of peace. Is that an area that you understand? Because if you understand that area, there's a really good chance you can take on your responsibilities every day and fulfill them. There's a really good chance that you don't freak out and put everything off till tomorrow. Because you can accomplish a lot more today in Christ, walking wisely and not foolishly. Let's go to the third point. This one is huge. If you're making notes, circle it twice. Put a star around it. Are y'all one of those note takers? Draw it. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. The good thing is we're in the same book. Amen? Flip to 6. I'm going to read verse 10, but the verse is 11. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I love that. Because if you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might, it means you're in Christ, or else you wouldn't have all power and authority. But because you're in Christ seated, you have all power and authority. And you can walk wisely when you come up towards something that's foolish. You know that it's foolish. And guess what you say? Nope, can't add that to my schedule. Can't put it in my hands. It'll be too much. And guess what? Hallelujah, I feel good to say no. Some of you just need to say no. Because if you don't, there's an adversary waiting for you. Read verse 10. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able, say able, to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. You don't have to fight him. Just stand. Did you hear what I just said to you? You don't have to fight the devil. Quit trying so hard to be godly. Just stand. Stay seated and walk wisely, not foolishly. You will be able to take on every responsibility that you have in this season with excellence. And guess what? You'll bring God all the honor and the glory. He sees this. He wants us to be like this, to sit, walk, and stand. Say it. Sit, walk, stand. Say it. Sit, walk, stand. Say it. Sit, walk, stand. If my responsibility is to follow God in every season of life, I have to be properly adjusted. How do you properly adjust? Sit, walk, stand. Got it? Hello? Y'all looking at me like I'm looking at you over the glasses, but you don't have them on. You're just looking at me. You're still trying to figure this Georgia boy out. You'll never figure me out. Look, some of you have been living a Christian life a long time. Some of you have just started. Some of you have not started yet. Yes, I'm going to say that. Are you ready for your funeral? That's part of your responsibility of being ready in all seasons. Are you ready for your funeral? Well, I'm young. I've got a long time to think about it. Do you really? You're not promised tomorrow. Are you ready for your funeral? I preached a funeral last week of a very close friend of ours. Don and I had a friend that had battled cancer for 27 years. And she was in her late 50s and she died. And here was my message. Pat was ready for her funeral. If you're properly adjusted in all things, you'll be ready for your funeral. But if you're not properly adjusted and you take too much in your hands and you're just going crazy all the time, my life is a whirlwind, you just won't believe how much I've got on me. I can't make it, Lord Jesus. But hallelujah, I'm at church today. What does that look like to a lost world? Lost. Out of control and crazy. That's not who we are in Christ. In Christ, take a deep breath. Exhale. That's kind of what it feels like. It's just all good. You're seated. You make wise decisions because you're backed up according to the Word. You don't do foolish things. And you know how to take a stand against the enemy where you don't have to fight him all the time because you put on your armor. How many of you put on your armor today? Because if you didn't put on your armor, uh-oh. That's a problem. Christian life cannot truly begin until we discuss what he's provided for us. I know you get good Bible teaching here. I can tell. Do you know everything that's provided for you through the Christian life? Do you know? Because we perish because of a lack of knowledge, right? But when we begin to train toward godliness as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy, we train toward godliness. Say train. Not try to be godly. We train to be godly. We're training this morning. That's why you're here. Isn't that awesome? And so you've learned to sit, walk, and stand. And now the Christian life can really be what it needs to be because you're learning what's provided for you. All power and all authority is in the seated position. That's what it says. Did you know everything is under your feet? Wow. You have all power and authority? And here's the thing. If we lose our peace, we lose our power. It just goes right out the window. So when the, you know, doves represent the Holy Spirit and peace. I'm going to ask you a question. Can doves light outside your house or not? Because they won't stay where there's no peace. They'll go. What is your house like? Is there peace in your home? Because God's intent is for you to be able to go through this season of life responsibly, accomplishing everything today, not putting it off to tomorrow. And you can do it because there's peace and you have power in Christ. I love that. And you can walk wisely, not like a fool. If you'll refer to Galatians 2:22, you'll understand how to walk wisely, because you'll see in Galatians 2:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and goodness and self-control. Measure how you walk by the fruit that is around you. What fruit is around you? Love? What fruit is around you? Peace. Hey, I'm learning patience. How about you? I can be gentle sometimes. Self-control? I like to eat. But working on self-control. See, training to godliness in all areas as I walk wisely so that I can stand against the enemy. If you want to know what things cause you to not produce fruit, go to Galatians 2:19 through 21. It spells it out real clear for you. And if you're doing those things, it's going to take you back a step or two. I'm sorry, I said Galatians 2, I meant 5. Y'all are probably going, it's not in here, it's not in here. Donna is such a great filter. She's like, Pastor John, does your wife do that? Look, y'all, look, that. Hey, let's look. Let's look in the eyes, okay? When we came to Millersburg full-time, I had to jump into the pond. I could not circle it anymore. Do you know how far we are, our home, how far our first home is from here? It's 10 hours. It doesn't matter how you chalk it up. To drive it, it's 10 hours. If you have to go to the bathroom a lot, it's 10 and a half hours. If you have to go to the bathroom a whole lot, it's 12 hours. It's far, okay? And so for 2 years, we circled the pond. I had a dream last night. I hope this is okay to say. I have prophetic dreams. There is a woman in here in my dream, and you're circling the pond, and you're afraid to jump in. I'm just telling you. I don't know who you are, but I saw you clearly. Sometimes ponds look all the same. Sometimes ponds scare us, because ponds represent opportunity. It's like a door. 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, there is a door, and look, not just a door, a mega door. Do you understand what the word mega means? Huge door of opportunity open to me. This is what the Apostle Paul says. But there are many adversaries, and we know that. And so here's what happens. We circle the pond for a really long time, going, I don't know if I can do that or not. Oh, I don't really have time. Well, I'm going to go this way. Maybe it'll look. No, it's the same pond. I'm going to keep circling it. God, surely you don't want me to jump in that pond. How could I possibly do that? I don't have enough money. I don't have enough experience. Who is circling a pond over and over and over? That made me dizzy. Ooh. It might make you dizzy sometimes. So we started circling this pond called Millersburg. I mean, who would come to Millersburg when you have a church in Georgia that's growing and doing fine just like this? We also have a Christian retreat center that has 8 cabins and a dining hall and all this meeting space, and people are continuously coming there. Until COVID, they're starting to come there again. And now Ohio? What? Oh, God. I'm going to circle this pond a little while. So I circled it for 2 years. I recognized it in the beginning because Don and I were in Marietta. Y'all know where that is, Ohio? We were called to preach a conference. We were real excited. The first day, guess what? We had 6 hours of free time. So I said, let's go to the Amish country, Holmes County. And we got to the first cheese shop at Walnut Creek, and I thought I was having a heart attack. For real. I've never had any issues. It landed us at Pomerine Hospital. A man named Dr. Amran came to my room. It was very interesting because when Amran came to my room, he didn't do like a normal doctor where he stays for 10 minutes. He stayed for 2 hours. I thought, this is weird. And I really didn't want to stay. I didn't want to get on a treadmill. Are you kidding me? I'm 50. My heart's good, right? This doctor convinced me to get on a treadmill. So we missed the first night of the conference. We spent the night in Millersburg, Ohio, at Pomerine Hospital. It was really wild. There was this Amish man that stayed in a room across the hall. He coded 3 times during the night. Every time he coded, there were like 40 staff members that came running. And I was like, what is this place? And the ones that couldn't fit, you can't fit 40 people in the hospital room, right? They were crammed in there, but the ones that didn't fit, guess what they were doing? Walking as the wise up and down the hospital praying for the Amish man, just like this. Praying out loud. Yeah, popcorn prayer. They were praying out loud. What hospital does that? What hospital has 40-something people come flying to the room every time the man's coded? After once, that's a good show. Twice, you're like, well, third time, they came every time. The doctor stays in my room for 2 hours. He made me feel like I was his best friend, that I was at home, even though I might be having a heart attack. You're going to be okay. When I got to the hospital, she's filling out the insurance paperwork, and that little back way you go in, it's a little sketchy. You know, you go in the back side of the hospital into Pomerine. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. So this male nurse comes up to me and he says, so, Pastor Woodall. And I'm like, how does he know I'm a pastor? He said, are you having a heart attack or did the Holy Spirit send you here? That'll make you start circling a pond. It wasn't a heart attack. I sprained my left shoulder joint. We flipped our four-wheeler on the mountain to keep from landing on her. I turned. I had forgot. It was 3 months ago. It was not a heart attack. It was an assignment from God. And it started the process of circling the pond. And I went home and I said, my God, I can't forget that town. So I downloaded your weather app. It drives her nuts. I know your weather better than you. I check it every morning. I begin to pray for you. I have this burden for you and your weather. So I pray for you a lot. That's crazy. And I circled the pond. I would pray for you. It's 60. Oh, now it's snowing. Oh, I wish I was in Ohio. It's snowing. We love snow. I circled the pond. I said finally to the hospital, I want to bring a group. I want to give back. What can I do for Holmes County? Be careful what you ask for. And you know the signs at the top? They wouldn't light up. And so our church replaced all the signage on Pomerine Hospital. Entrance, emergency, all the big signs across the top. And I didn't go, oh my God, how much is that going to cost? Where is that money going to come from? I'm seated with all power and authority. Everything is under my feet. I'm walking wise, not foolishly. Do you understand where the money comes from? Where does it come from? Him. We did our little church, I don't know, we're not this big, we're like that. There's like 110 of us, 15, maybe 20. So I decided, okay, God said, well, now I want you to go up there and do a Bible study once a month. And I'm like, where? He said, the Comfort Inn in Millersburg. Do y'all talk with God? Are y'all looking at me like, I never hear the voice of God? You hear the voice of God. I mean, in different ways. He nudges you. He says things. He shows you things. People come in and out of your lap, blah, 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 blah. Do you know him? Sit down in his lap. You're in Christ. Know him. So he said, start a Bible study. I said, okay, we'll fly up once a month, my son-in-law and I, and we did four Bible studies at Comfort Inn. Then COVID hit. We were filling the room up. All these people were coming, Mennonites, Amish, English, they were all coming. It was crazy. The Amish. They were listening. They wanted to be there. Then COVID threw a kink in, and 7 months later, Donna said to me, are you ever going to go back to Millersburg? I don't know, because I have to keep circling that pond, and I mean, it's costing a lot of money, and now we have to wear masks. What if we catch? Are you kidding me? I'm seated in position of authority. What if catch what? Just walk wisely. So we came back 4 months ago. And I had to make a decision if I was going to jump in the pond or not. This is really my message for you today. Are you tired of circling the pond? Are you ready to jump in? Because jumping in requires preparation. And then once you jump in, it still requires more preparation. So we come up here to teach the Bible study. I didn't think we'd get a flight. Oh, there was flights. 2 days' notice. 2 days' notice, we did Bible study. Feel the room slap up. I'm thinking, what in the world? A lady says, you won't believe this, Pastor Chip, but there's a church down the street from the hospital that just went upside down because of COVID. And I thought, maybe we could use that church for Bible study once a month because the room's full here. So I get to the church, and I go in, and it's turnkey ready. Those folks, maybe some of y'all went there, I don't know. They just left. They left the baby toys, salt and pepper shakers, the keyboard, all the computers, microphones. They left everything, Pastor John. And God said, so, Pastor Chip from Georgia, are you going to circle this pond? Or are you going to jump in it? What? You mean like, jump in? You mean like, plant a church in Millersburg, Ohio? I live in Georgia. I jumped. I found a deep spot. So for 4 months, guess what I've been doing? Treading water. Because when you tread water, you can see the horizon perfectly. You're level with it. The water level, the horizon. In the summer when we go on vacation, the kids will finally talk me. We're like, Pastor John, we have a really big family. They'll talk me to get into the water. Don and I like to sit at the edge with our toes in the water and just keep moving the chair back as the tide comes in, you know, and then move it this way as it goes out. How many of y'all do that? But you don't get in because there's sharks. So the kids will convince me to get in, and once every summer I get in really deep to the I don't like to touch. I like to tread water. I don't know why. I guess I could kick the shark better. I don't know. So we tread water. And while we tread water, I can see the horizon. I can see what's coming toward me, like shark fins. So I'm like the lifeguard scanning the water back and forth. I can see a storm coming. I can see confrontation coming. And guess what? The whole time, I'm building relationship and community with my children that are grown. I'm still talking to them. So for months, I've been treading water. I'm moving wisely. I'm treading water in Millersburg, Ohio. I'm watching what needs to happen here. But the power to take bold steps of faith comes in the preparation. I didn't procrastinate or put it off for 2 years. We moved and we did things. If you'll read The Bargain Hunter for the next couple of weeks, you'll see more about it. Preparation is putting the right pieces in place as they come. So you have to take on the responsibility for this season of life with God. You can't put off till tomorrow what you could do today. I had to jump in deep. Are you with me? What are you putting off? What have you started putting off because you can't? Isn't it a shame that in church, we take on things because nobody else will, and we feel obligated to take on things, and people make us feel obligated, or we're supposed to go to another church, but our family convinces us the whole family has always been here. How dare you ever leave it? Have you ever heard the Apostle Paul talks about spheres of influence? It's a metron in the Greek word. And this is what it means. From the beginning to the end, you all have a sphere of influence. If you get out of it, there's no grace there. So if you've obligated yourself to be a cook for Wednesday night meals and you're not a cook, there's no grace on it. So everything you're doing is works-based. Oh, me. Part of the preparation can happen when you jump. But you have to tread water because that's where you discipline yourself, like a Navy SEAL. That's where you build relationship, like I said, with my children. That's where you remain teachable. 1 Timothy 4, 5, and 7. You're training to godliness. And you keep your eyes on the horizon. If you've been circling a pond, don't put off jumping in the water. Sit, walk, stand, jump, tread. Sit, walk. Stand, jump. So when do you start swimming? I'm going to wrap it up real quick. Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Once you get in the water, God will give you the revelation of a blueprint, and you will build upon that foundation. He will show you how to establish the call that he's marked you for. But we have this responsibility. We have this responsibility to follow God in every season of life and remain adjusted until we jump and don't say, I'll do it tomorrow. What if tomorrow never comes? Let's bow our heads. Lord, these are your people. These are your people. And this is your truth. And revelation has come at least to one. One woman that needs to jump. And you've put it off because you're circling the pond. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now you have to substantiate your faith. That means put substance to it by jumping in the water. And we ask this in Jesus' name.